I wanted to share a little bit today that there is no I in team. The title of my teaching, There Is No I in Team. I've just been so bombarded with things all week. It was interesting. Nick and I were talking for about 15 or 20 minutes before anybody got here, and we were talking about how the media today has pretty much trampled people and continues to trample people. And man just allows it, and he's just sucking it up, man, and thinking it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But you know what? It's really not. I've said before, there never was, when I was a kid, it was like 3, 6, or 10, you know, channel. And then they had, what, UHF 29, 48, and 17. Now, man, they got all news all the time, man. And it's just killing people. And man, with his ego, you know, he's always wanted to be wise, always wanted to be the greatest. And I'm not sure when that really started, when that me thing came to existence. But I can tell you that the devil started it. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to see that a little bit today. I'm going to go over some familiar stuff like in Genesis and that with Eve. But the heart of the issue is you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. If you're going to go into the world and try and stay there and try and live the worldly way, you're not going to survive, I'm going to tell you. Because the devil's ministry in John 10:10 is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it is. The other night I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the other night I shared at fellowship. Nick did a great teaching, I think, last week on being a cheerful giver. And I taught on giving is living. And the more you give, the more alive you're going to be each and every day of your life. And it stands to reason. And today, that's not what the world is about. It's not about giving it all. And we'll get into that. But in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, this is about the devil. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was the devil's little mission. He wanted to be greater than God. He wanted to be God. He doesn't want to be like God. He wanted to be God. There's a big difference in that. Today, people are doing the same damnable thing. They want to be God. They want to support themselves. They want to be me. Okay, we're not going there. So verse 15. Yet... thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now the devil's attempt failed, but that doesn't stop him from using your ego against you. That's a bullet in his gun that he's firing at you. And God gives us his word, but it's up to us whether we obey it or we try to play God ourselves. And it's important that we obey God's word and do not try to be God ourselves. Go to Genesis chapter 2. And we're just going to look for a minute at God giving his word and man not obeying it. It's very important that we obey God's word. My heart was just so crushed with things that I've seen this week. And we'll get into that a little bit later. You just can't be God. You just can't try and play God. You know, I learned a valuable lesson that I want to share with you about letting go and letting God and praying for it and being done with it. We went to the Sight and Sound Theater a couple weeks ago, right? A lot of people went. It was a really good time. Okay, so as we're going up the expressway, we're driving along and the traffic is like murder. It's like bumper-to-bumper traffic. And so we get off, and we took this Rube Goldberg way. The point being, Dolores and I were praying in the car, and we were really on it, praying. And when we got done, we started praying for the other people that were coming up from New Jersey also, because they were going to go the same way and hit the same traffic. And they were behind me, I'm sure. Nobody leaves early like we do. They just think, you know, oh, it only takes 20 minutes to get there, but a GPS, ooh, I can get there. No, it don't work like that. But long story short, we prayed. And so when we got there, I was like going into a panic attack, like an anxiety attack of other people being trapped in traffic and not getting there on time. And I'm texting and texting, yo, you guys come in. Are you making out? Are you getting close? Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, it was like the hand of God reached down. Now, I'm sure it wasn't the hand of God reaching down, smacking me in the head because I wouldn't have a head left. But it was like, bam, dude, did you not pray for those people? And, like, stop. And I got peaceful. And the next thing you know, bam, the people came in that we were waiting for. And it was great. See, you just can't play God and try and put it all on yourself, because you're not God and you can't control yourself. And there's no I in team. And you're going to see in a little bit, it's a team effort. And don't let the devil beat you down and discourage you, because that's what he wants. Like I said, it's steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wants. He wants you to be beat down. He wants you to live a less than an abundant life, a less than happy life. He wants you to focus on all the things that you don't have. I struggle every day with energy. I mean, it's a push, man, for me to do things every single day because of the heart thing and the medicine and all that. But you know what? Dolores always says, don't focus on that. Focus on what you do. Look at all that you do. I went to the doctor's the other day, and the doctor says to me, how you making out? And I said, well, it's okay. I said, it's still a little bit hard, but, you know, I'm pressing through. My energy level's up a little bit. And I said, and I'm trying my best. You know, I'm going to bed at like 10 o'clock. And he went, well, that's just normal people's bedtimes, 10 o'clock. You know, nobody goes to bed at 2 in the morning like you, dude. You know, and I thought, well, wait a minute now. What is normal? What is normal? Who the heck is he to tell me that 2 o'clock in the morning is not normal? I don't know. He's just a doctor. But God is bigger than any doctor. Okay, let's go to Genesis now, chapter 2, verse 16. In case you don't know, I got a lot going on up here this morning. So, praise God. Like I said, you just get blessed and get it. Yes, Genesis 2. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So that was the word of God to Adam. Dude, don't do this. Genesis 3. We're going to flip over there. Now the serpent, verse 1 of Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle. How was that, Laura? Good? Okay. Was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord hath made. So if that's just an inside joke, I was saying supple. And supple means soft. It's not subtle. There's a difference. And he said unto the woman, yea, God hath said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now that word subtle is the Hebrew word arum. And it's a passive participle. I don't really know what all that means. I'm not that educated when it comes to that. If you are, there you go. I threw it in so you would get blessed. But the same word is Proverbs 27:12. You don't have to go there. I'm going to read it to you. A prudent man, and that's what it's translated as, prudent, foreseeth evil and hideth himself. But the simple, pass on and are punished. What do you think about that? I get goosebumps just thinking about that. That's how stupid some people are. That's how the devil has tricked people into being stupid. Verse 2 of Genesis chapter 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The direct, doggone God said, don't do it. And this guy's saying, do it. How many of us face that every single day of our lives? When we make a decision, God all but hits you in the head and says, don't do it, but you go and do it anyway. Stop. Don't do it. Don't be deceived. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to that media that's running roughshod through your brain. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as what? Gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband, and he did eat also. Now I asked you, is that not the epitome of Proverbs 27:12? The prudent man runs away, the stupid people get punished. That's just the way it is, man. I'm not saying you're stupid people, because I'm a people too, and I don't consider myself stupid. But man, there's a dumbing down of the world. Nick and I were talking about that this morning also. He was saying that. Like, it's just dumbing down. Your senses are dulled. You know, and you need your spiritual senses to come to the reality of life and what the devil is doing to people. Yet today the adversary has tricked people into philosophies without the need for anyone but me. Most are more confusing than they are helpful. Interestingly, those that are clear enough to be understood usually end up focusing attention on the individual. Me, and oh, by the way, did I mention me? And that's what it's really about. So let's consider a few of the world's philosophies. Number one, and not necessarily in this order, there is Greek philosophy, and this is not a comprehensive list. Now notice the end words here. Greek philosophy, be wise, know yourself. Roman philosophy, be strong, discipline yourself. Epicureanism, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Psychology philosophy, be confident, assert yourself. Materialism, be satisfied, please yourself. Pride philosophy, be superior, promote yourself. Humanism, be capable, believe in yourself. Last week, Carmen stood up here, I think, was it last week we did the Pledge of Allegiance? And he said, you know, it's good to belong to something and be in a country and blah, 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 but it's still God first. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Our first allegiance is to God Almighty. Yeah. And I added, after all that philosophy, idolatry starts with I. This is one reason the natural man can never be truly happy. But Christianity says, be a steward, give of yourself. We are one body, the family of God. We are of the utmost importance to God and each other. And that's what it's really about. We got to live and breathe for God. That's why all those songs were about that. Knowing that God has never forgotten us. You know, Carmen's going to come up and sing a song in the end. And originally I wanted to share something, which maybe we'll do another day. But going to that happy place when the world beats you down, where do you go? You know, there's a happy place that you can go, and it's back into Daddy's arms. Carmen was kind enough to learn that song, and we're going to sing it in the end. You can always go back to God, because God is the numero uno. In Manifestations, God said, you know, I'm always thinking of you. I have engraven you on the palms of my hands. God's always there for us. It's so important for us. And it's important to know that we were called from before the foundations of the world. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. You know, the world can't make people happy. And I've said this before, many people have said it. You know, when you look at yourself, all you see is shortcomings. I'm not good looking, I'm not tall, I don't have hair, you know, whatever your little situation is. You know, and when you look out, you see others. And what do you see when you look out? This guy has a really nice car, this guy has a motorcycle, this guy has a really nice house, this guy teaches good, you know, this guy prays good, this guy has a good manifestation. And you're going to see in the one body, it really doesn't matter what that other guy's doing. What it really matters to God is, what are you doing? What are you doing for yourself? And more importantly, what are you doing for others? Two people committed suicide this week. Some famous people. So one lady, I forget her, David Spade's sister or something. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, so I don't really know who she is, I'm sorry. But I just know that from whatever was on the screen and the internet there, I saw the headline. Anyway, so this woman had a lot of money. She was famous, I guess, you know, to people. She was a clothing designer or made handbags or something. I don't know, whatever it is. Yet, she killed herself. You know? And what about the other guy, the food dude? Anthony Bourdain. There you go. Anthony Bourdain killed himself. Isn't that interesting? There's a guy, he's on TV, he's famous, everybody and their brother knows him. I wouldn't know him if I fell over him, but I know who he is, or who he was. And you know why? Because when the devil, you get tricked like that, and then you sell out, and then when the devil's done using you, it's off with your head, man. And it doesn't matter. His ministry is steal, kill, and destroy to everyone. We need to band together, stay together, hang tough, see ourselves as the one body, getting on a steamroller and moving forward and crushing the adversary. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what? Love. Nick shared that last week too. Love. That's what it's really about, the love of God. And not just loving ourselves, but loving others, the body of Christ. And then going outside of that body and reaching out to people and loving them also, so that they can see the greatness of what God has called you to. So we were called from before the foundations of the world, and we are seated with Christ. Look at Ephesians verse 20 of chapter 1. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So he's raised us up and he seated us in heavenly places. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Like all these other silly rabbits. I added that. According to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Who were the children of disobedience? Those chuckleheads that are being run over by the media and allowing the media to dictate their lives. That's who. I'm not saying don't watch TV. I'm not saying don't watch the news. There's some great stuff, man. Little sidebar there. Trump is in Singapore. And he's going to meet with this, what's that guy's name? Yeah, thank you. Kim Jong-un, Young-sung, whatever he is. Where that guy is. Kim Young-somebody, God bless him. The rocket man. And he's going to meet with him. And who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Praise God. You know, maybe it'll be a great blessing. Maybe it won't. I don't know. There's a lot of newsworthy news, but it's the you can't turn on TV without. I never saw, I don't remember as a kid, or even as an adult, for that matter, all the medical news, like commercials. Like, man, like if you have cancer, if you have a brain tumor, if you don't have hair, if you don't this, if you don't that, blah, 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 blah. All these things. Man, doesn't that start grinding on you after a while? It sure does. Even Dolores, the one day, she goes, I'm sick of hearing that commercial. Like, yeah, man, there's a lot of unnewsworthy news. And that's how the devil sneaks in. He just keeps chipping away at you daily. Cancer, 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 cancer. It's like that freaking woodpecker over there. Bup, 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 bup. Eventually you get peck, 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 peck. You get weak. It wears you down. And don't say it doesn't. You're not that strong. Trust me, I'm pretty strong. Not physically, but mentally. I've lived through some pretty hard things in my life. But you know what? I'm not that tough. If you beat on me long enough and hard enough, I'm going to cave. Eventually, everybody does. Don't let the devil do that to you. And if you see that happening to somebody, you need to jump in with both feet and your mouth and your hands and say, wake up and smell the coffee and help them and bless them and protect them. Verse 3, among whom... Did I read verse 2? According to, yeah, okay. Children of disobedience. Among whom, verse 3, also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. See, you can't work your way to heaven. It's the grace of God. You can't work your way anywhere. It's the grace of God. It's only by God's great grace that we are saved, going to heaven, and all hell can't stop us once we get born again of God's Spirit. We can always go back to God because God and you make the majority. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's like the three musketeers, all for one and one for all. Yeah, that's what it's like. The three musketeers, only it's all one body. It's all us. Can you see yourself in the one body? Do you know what your part in the one body is? I don't know if you do, but if you don't, you need to think about it, and you need to ask God and have God show you. Do you think that you are important? Are you doing and active in the body of Christ? Are you? You should be. Remember Proverbs 23:7a, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When it comes to doing, if you think you can't, you probably won't. And that's a pretty stout statement. If you don't think you can, you probably will not do it. Jimmy and I were talking a little bit earlier this morning, and we were talking about praying for people. And man, you need to step up to the plate and pray for somebody when they need it, and don't worry about what happens. Just do it. Just get it done. Because it's important. It's important that you do that. So we need to also be rooted and grounded in love. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, please. It's very, very important to be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. We need to be rooted and grounded so we are not blown about with the storms of devilish, diabolical deceptions, better known as fake news. Because that's all the devil is throwing at you each and every day of your life. We need to see our part in the body of Christ. We are able to help, bless, yes, give doctrine, reproof, and correction. Why? I'll show you. 2 Timothy, please. Each one of us is capable of giving the word of God. Doctrine, reproof, and correction, so that we can help and bless each other. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Verse 17, the reason we can do that is that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's one of the reasons we can do it. God gave us His Word. He imparted us His Word. The greatest thing He could give, besides Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, was His Word, which He magnified above what? His name. All His name. And He gave it to you and me. We need to give it to others for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for salvation. We need to go there. Look at Ephesians again, please. Chapter 4. In verse 14. That we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. That's what the devil's doing. He's hanging out. He's slithering around on the grass. Like we used to say, lower than a pregnant ant's belly. Yeah, you got that. That's how low that little son of a gun is. And he's sniping around, looking to bite somebody. But, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Love is a big ingredient that helps us grow. The more love you have, the bigger you're going to grow spiritually. We need to wake up and start growing. Look at Ephesians, please, chapter 5. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil and they're getting worse. They're not getting any better. Clues are being handed out. So press forward. Press towards the mark at a high calling. You know, don't worry about your IRA and the amount of money that you're going to have when you retire. Worry about your spiritual bank, your spiritual IRA, and what you're going to collect when you get up there at the Bema and God's giving out rewards, because that's for a lifetime. This is only for a small time. I'm not saying money's not important, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be looking out for your money. You know, I always say a lot of times, if you're not looking out for your money, somebody else is. And that's the truth. And they're looking to take it from you. Everybody's trying to gaff some cash. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's not about the dollars and cents. This is only paper. This is only a piece of paper. And do you know what? Today, it ain't pretty much worth a doodly hill of beans. But your spiritual rewards, they're worth a hill of doodly beans. A lot. And you're going to live with that. I want to have so many crowns piled up. When I'm walking around, like, yo, what's that guy doing? This is Browns. Yeah. That's how you're going to be. That's what my heart is for you. That you can get blessed and have spiritual blessings. Okay, redeeming the time for the age. Yeah. Okay, wherefore, be not unwise and understanding what the will of the Lord is. One of the things is the will of the Lord is that we stand. Standing is one of the most important things that you can do. And how do you stand? Ephesians chapter 6. I didn't realize I went through a pretty good bit of Ephesians here. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Not your own, but in His. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. That creepy, pregnant, lower than a pregnant ant's belly guy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, man is, the natural man perceiveth not the things of the spirit, neither can he understand them, for they are spiritually discerned, right? And that's what it is today. He wants to blame Democrats. He wants to blame Republicans. He wants to blame the priests down the street. He wants to blame all these things. It's not man. It's the devil, right? That's what it is. If you don't believe that, you need to come and see me or somebody afterwards and get a clue. Because I'm telling you, that's what it's about. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. So, you take unto you, verse 13, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. One of the greatest attributes a servant can have is their faithfulness to stand. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. We got to stand, withstand, and endure. That's what we need to do in our lives. We need to constantly be reaching out, constantly helping one another, and constantly helping others. You know, I was thinking, I don't know if it was Carmen or Nick, somebody did a teaching, and they, or maybe it was Jimmy, somebody did it about that the soldier, I think it's the dog soldier, and they get staked out. They drive a stake in the ground, they take a piece of leather or a chain or something, they go out like 5 or 10 feet. And they have their little tomahawk or their little knife or whatever, and they're staked out. And that area is where they're designed to protect. Nothing can get within there. That's what we need to see ourselves as, being staked out for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. We want to be faithful. And you know, there's a crown for being faithful. Stand therefore. Oh, yeah, go back to Ephesians. I'm reading it, I'm thinking like, wow, that's not in Corinthians. Back to Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all who? Saints. That's the one body. That's you. That's you and me, the saints, the one body. That's us. It's not some statue in a church somewhere. It's you and me. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance, this is Paul writing, not me personally, but I'll stick myself in there. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. And what is the mystery of the gospel? Christ. The hope of glory, the one body. Jews and Gentiles, join heirs. It's us, one body, moving and working together. We're all part of the body of Christ. If I had a little anatomy chart, I'd do all that. I'd show you all that. Nothing's more important. Everywhere you are, Christ is. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. We're going to end up here. This is the one body, 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to read it from the NIV because I think it really simplifies it and makes it a little more palatable than in the King James Version. It's a little more easy to understand. It's 1 Corinthians 12:12 in the NIV. I'm just going to read it. Just as the body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of that body. It's important no matter what part of the body you are, no matter what you have been called to do, it's of the utmost importance that you get busy doing it. You are just as important as anyone else. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Verse 18, but in fact God hath placed parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now, you may not particularly like what you've been called to do in the body, but that's where God placed you, and that's what God wants you to do. So don't worry about the ego of somebody that teaches better or speaks in tongues better or prophesies better or prays better or whatever's better. Get busy doing what you do. You know, even if it's just being encouragement, anything, whatever it is, get busy doing it. Verse 19, and if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. But the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I like that. God hath chose the foolish things to confound the what? Wise. Yeah. Even if you're the little baby toenail in the body of Christ, it doesn't matter. You're just as important as anybody else. Verse 23, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that it lacked. Verse 25, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And I really like that. You really should have concern for each and every brother and sister in the body of Christ and those without. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Each one of us is special, just like fingerprints. No two fingerprints are the same. None. That's you. You are just like a fingerprint. God has placed a special mark right on you. He has placed his spirit deep within inside of you. And that's what he wants you to see. That's what I believe God's message is for you today, that you're the greatest person, that you are the most important person, that you are the end-all be-all. You are God in Christ in you. So stand faithful, keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace, and walk in the love of God as one body. Okay? So I'm going to have a prayer, and then Carmen's going to come up and sing this song, Daddy's Arms. So Almighty God, we sure are thankful for this day, thankful for all that you've done for us and continue to do for us. Thank you that we can see our part in the one body, the family of God, the household of faith, that we can walk out and bless each other and help each other and do for each other and for those who are not in the one body yet but have been called to be. Thank you that we can touch someone's life today and love them and show them the greatness of your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.